Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you for having your Saturday as us a part of it. 617-779-7937, that's Mike Vrabel. St. John, which if I broke it down into a simpler term, maybe he's really telling us no losing streaks, right? Because if you're a person that believes that they can go, say, 9-8, right? Or I believe they might be able to go 10-7, that really kind of says if you don't have any losing streaks, you can go 9-8.
Yeah, at some point you have to win like two in a row.
Like, right. If you win two in a row, somewhere you can go 10-7 with that same guise of not losing back-to-back games. And I guess I want to get this conversation going is like, where do you like? I gauge this team to definitely be a 1-1 team, but I think the conversation becomes much more extreme if this was an 0-2 team. But it's a very thin line. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you look at the Miami game last week. I was very impressed with the Patriots' resiliency, and they made the key plays when they needed to. And I said this after the game, and I think you'd agree, last week's game against Miami, they would have lost that game last year, and they would have lost that game the year before. So they found a way to win, which was good, but they missed two extra points. They committed 12 penalties, right? There's a lot of things to clean up there that they have to clean up going forward because Pittsburgh, look, I know Pittsburgh's defense has given up a lot of points. They haven't been good. I think Pittsburgh is a much better team and much better coached than the Miami Dolphins team we saw last Sunday.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, if the narrative of style of play, because I've been one that said, I don't care if it looks ugly. It's just about getting wins, right? Because think about last year, we're like, well, Drake May looked good. How many games did the team win?
The best thing about Drake May last week to me was he didn't turn the ball over. Like, the throws were nice. That step up and throw to Stevenson for the 55-yard right. gain was phenomenal. The rollout for the touchdown right after was great. The throw to Mac Hollins on a rollout. Like, he made a lot of really good plays. But the biggest thing for me was no fumbles lost, no interceptions. Like, that's, to me, that's the key for him, not just this year, but for the rest of his career. Because the talent is there, and it feels like the football IQ is there. It's just sometimes in the past he's been too reckless and turned the ball over. Right.
I would say the football IQ is coming along.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's in there. He's just like, they're working it along to get it out.
Right, competency, right? You feel like there's, and it's crazy when we get to Jag, Mac Jones's name comes up there. But it's like, when competency hits, I think those other things are not hard to achieve, to not turn the ball over, to not make errant throws in situations where there's a no-win situation, right? The way you see those show up in the IQ is throwing the ball away versus down the field, or trying to play hero ball when protection breaks down. You know, like, if he gets away from those things, and why people don't like the term game manager, you would have to say, hey, you have a game manager type head coach, like McDaniels.
I don't even know why that's a derogatory term.
It's either. Not a derogatory term.
Same thing
term
with system QB. Like, people look at those like they're insults. I'm like, okay, what great quarterback has not played in a system that's helped them? And what great quarterback doesn't do a good job of managing the game?
Or, like, put it this way, do you think the Dolphins probably could have at least one win if they weren't like a high risk, looking for high reward team?
Yeah.
Right. So, again,
what the Patriots have five sacks in the second half of that game?
Yeah. Right. So, again, game management is literally what this team needs, because there hasn't really been any game managers over the last 3 years, right? Like, the decision making between Judge and Patricia running the offense and all those, like, we are so far away from that. So if it means, hey, Drake May don't do too much, because remember that was the kind of the conversation out of week one. You're like, do you want to see a game where Drake May is throwing almost 40 times a game and the game still kind of be somewhat in the balance? You don't necessarily want to see that. I've been one that says, as long as this team leans on the run game, it allows for Drake May to have less opportunities to make ill-advised mistakes.
Yeah, and we also saw, too, in week two, Drake May just flat-out played better. Like, yeah, they ran the ball more, he threw it less, but, I mean, how many open guys did he miss against the Raiders in week one, right? He also just played better in week two, and I think, can he build off that now? Like, to Vrabel's point, I understand if he doesn't care that you won back-to-back games in 2022. I mean, not only was he not here, most of the people on this roster and coaching staff were not here back then.
Doesn't apply.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't that ever fascinate you when people pull stats from like 3 or 4 years ago? You're like,
you haven't done this since 2016. Like,
right, you know, like 90% of the people here weren't even here.
Yeah.
Look, like every once in a while, was still in college.
Like every once in a while, that's kind of interesting. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs, how no matter who the guys are, they lose playoff series, right? Like stuff like every now and then.
It applies to baseball best, right? Because it's the manager and you keep the same staff.
Or payroll's the same in baseball year after year after year.
Right.
But like in the NFL, like what you did 4 years ago really has no or very minimal relevance, if any, to what you're doing right now. But I think that's to Vrabel's point.
John. Somebody on this roster this year won't be on the roster next year.
Yeah, right. And maybe even a month from now, right? Like,
right.
But to Vrabel's point, I think you look at, all right, if this team is going to win back-to-back games for the first time since then, what matters is, can Drake May have two good games in a row? Can this offensive line, because remember, we spent all summer people worrying about the offensive line. Offensive line was really good last week, especially Will Campbell. Can the offensive line have two good weeks in a row right now with TJ Watt on the other side as well? Like, can the offensive line, can the quarterback, can they have two good weeks in a row? Can the defense build off what they did in the fourth quarter? Because second and third quarter, Miami did whatever they wanted, right? Up and down the field, scoring points. Fourth quarter, the New England defense tightened up and played a lot better. Can they build on, like, that's the thing. If you're going to win two games in a row and you're going to beat a Steelers team that is better than the Miami team you just played, you're going to have to take those things. You obviously have to eliminate the mistakes, but you have to take those things and build on them too.
Yeah, I totally agree. 617-779-7937. In fact, we're going to talk to my buddy Chris Mack. I've worked with him at BetQL. He's part of the Odyssey family. He's in Pittsburgh. We've had him on the show, remember, because played Pittsburgh a couple years ago. We talked to him about what was going on. I think the conversation is going to be a little bit more interesting than what was going on in 2023 for this team, for sure. We'll also get your text as well, but right now it's time to trend.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox bats came alive in the eighth inning for a 7-run inning that propelled the Sox to an 11-7 victory over the Rays. Last night, Crochet went 6 full, allowing 3 earned runs, striking out 9 batters, and Jaron Duran had a crucial 2-run home run. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, just trying to put some quality bats together and just happen to put a good swing on the ball. And it was honestly felt like a 20-pound weight was off my shoulders. You know, I feel like I've been just trying to do so much. You know, these games coming up. But it was good to get that quality bat together.
With last night's Sox win and the Astros losing last night, the Sox are now tied for the second wild card spot. The Sox also kept their 1.5-game lead over the Guardians for that final AL wild card spot. Cleveland has also won. They also won last night, but they've also won 9 of their last 10 games. The Sox are back in action today for another must-win game against Tampa. Coverage starts on WEEI at 6:05 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with their good friend Joe Weil. And as always, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kyle Harrison is on the mound for your Boston Red Sox, first pitch at 7:05. The Patriots are set for their Week 3 matchup tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but today, both Julian Edelman and Bill Parcells will be donning a red jacket and getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. I'm Tom Crisafili, and that's what's happening now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. That's Aaron Rodgers talking about the Patriots defense. We'll talk to our buddy Chris Mack in Pittsburgh, Odyssey, also part of the BetQL network here shortly in about 90 seconds. Let's get to the text line, 617-779-7937. Thomas, what you got, bro?
We have a 774 text that says, not a game manager equals Chad Pennington. Game manager equals Chad Pennington. Not a game manager equals Brett Favre.
Brett Favre might be the most overrated quarterback in the history of the NFL. So, I'm not telling you he sucks. Like, he had a good career. He's a Hall of Fame. But people act like he's like one of the GOATs, and he's not.
Yeah, but I guess if you had Curtis Martin as your running back, would you not be a game manager too? Like, would you not be that? Like,
well, I guess hypothetically, yeah.
Right. So if you've got one of the better running backs in the league, this, what we say about Ramondre
also,
Stevenson.
Pennington had so many injuries. Remember, everyone, like, didn't he win comeback player of the year twice? Isn't that like a distinction he has?
Yeah, but
like that?
Pennington's pedigree also said, like, don't give him too much. Right? Like, it's just that just was his career. Like, you just can't give him too much. That's not the idea with Drake May, but Drake May at this point, because he's a little bit of a wild child. And again, you know, I think this is where errors do kind of come into play a bit, right? Pennington, ironically, under Parcells, right? You have Parcells led defense first, running game you get behind, quarterback adds whatever we need, you know, like. Didn't he have Keyshawn Johnson there?
I feel like for a little while. I'm trying to think, because didn't they win the division in 2002? Like that one year the Patriots did?
Yeah, the one year the Patriots didn't. It was the Jets that won it. And again, I think it might be probably Keyshawn Johnson's last year before he goes to Tampa. So, you know, but again, you had a strong running game. You had a strong defense. And I would say if you've got a strong running game and your defense is supposed to be your strongest suit, why do I need my quarterback to suddenly be Brett Favre out there? Like, that's the what you see. Like, Drake May as Brett Favre was the Washington Commanders preseason gameplay. That play, and that's what you don't want to see from Drake May. Bro, get rid of it, punt, take the sack, don't turn it over trying to be a hero. If he's 10 years into the league and he's shown himself to win playoff games and take the team pretty far, then, yeah, you're going to say, okay, this person knows what they're doing. I trust that they see something that we can't comprehend, and that you make a play, you make a play. It's just not that time.
I just think the whole game manager and, like, system thing, like, people try to use that as an insult all the time, and maybe sometimes it is, but it's not always the insult I think people think it is.
I think that argument comes from stats. We're now in this stat era. How many yards can you throw for? Like, you play to win the game. Like, that's all it comes down to. If you get the W, I don't care if you threw 10 times.
Last week's a good example. Like, Tua puts up good numbers every single year. But, I mean, would you trust him to win you a playoff game if you really had to? Like, I don't think I would.
Yeah, it really comes down to, do you trust his arm to win the game? Look what happened in the Thursday night game. You are driving. You are on your way to potentially either winning that game. You really had a good chance to win that game. And what do you do? You lose the game on your arm, even though your run game was fantastic that night. You lose the game on your arm. All right, one more text, and then we'll have Chris Mack join us.
Another one from the 774. Patriots are going to get killed by the Steelers.
Not a lot of optimism, Mark.
Well, I guess at that note, let's bring in Chris Mack from our sister properties in Odyssey, Pittsburgh. Chris Mack, also I've done work with on BetQL. So this might tickle both of your fancies when I ask both you and John this. The last time the Steelers and Patriots played each other, can you guys name the starting quarterbacks for each of those games?
So
Bailey Zappe started for the Patriots.
Correct.
And Mitch there Trubisky started for the Steelers, right?
Correct.
All right.
As you can see,
I'm the super nerd.
No, I did the post-game show that night, so I like distinctly remember it was a Thursday night game.
Shows you how much management cares about you, right?
Yeah, the Patriots went into Pittsburgh on a Thursday night, and Bailey Zappe beat Mitch Trubisky. It's seared into my memory.
So
yeah,
Chris,
that's one of those ones that I blocked out, guys.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Had it gone the other way, I might have blocked it out.
So obviously now the conversation is it's Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer, clearly, and possibly the answer to Pittsburgh's quarterback issues. Clearly an answer to Mitch Trubisky for sure. And then Drake May, potentially the answer to the quarterback woes for this team. Chris, I ask you, from a Pittsburgh perspective, what's the attitude going into this game? Do they feel like this is a winnable game against a young quarterback and a defense that's aged well there?
It's funny. I heard the pessimism from the text line right before you brought me on. It's pretty pessimistic down here this week, too. Like, especially because this was a team that was supposed to be built on defense, right? You extend TJ Watt, you give Cam Hayward a little taste, break him off a little piece right before the regular season starts. You bring in Ramsey and extend him, Slay. They got Queen a couple years ago. They've drafted some young pieces as well. They've tried to make this team about defense. They got four starters injured on defense right now. So I don't know if anybody's feeling very good about them not giving up 30 points again, which, you know, they've given up 30 points in each of the first 2 weeks. First time they've done that in over 20 years, I believe it is. First time they've done it in the first two games of the season, at least. This defense is not playing like it should, so there's not a lot of optimism about the defense. Maybe one of the things that people will look at will say, oh, okay, young quarterback like you guys are bringing up. But I think, you know, there's not a ton of weapons available to Drake May, maybe, as we typically look at him. You know, you don't have big-name receivers. You got Diggs, obviously, but is he still necessarily fully 100%? Has he shaken all the rust off? I think what's more interesting to me, guys, is knowing that this is Mike Vrabel running the show now, and that Josh McDaniels has always been very good, I think, at poking holes in the Steelers' weaknesses, whether it was in New England or since he left, and then before coming back, is, you know, Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. This Steelers defense has gotten absolutely flattened in the run game the first 2 weeks. And I think that 1-2 punch, especially the ability of both of them to catch the ball out of the backfield, could present some issues if the Steelers decide to make any personnel changes because of how they've been flattened in the run game the first couple of weeks. They may try to play a little bigger, might not have as much sideline to sideline speed if a guy like Peyton Wilson is coming off the field in favor of some of the other pieces, you know, Cole Holcomb. There's an opportunity, I guess, for them to slow down the run, but I don't think anybody here feels very optimistic about it this week.
Chris, I want to follow up on something you said. You mentioned injuries and starters out. Joey Porter Jr. is going to be out. Alex Highsmith is going to be out. For Patriots fans that maybe aren't as familiar with those guys or the Steelers defense, what kind of loss do those guys have on a game like this against the Patriots tomorrow?
Well, Highsmith is the perfect yang to TJ Watt's yin. Like, he's a solid two-way edge guy. He'll set the edge in the run game. If a team decides to over-focus on T.J. Watt, and by the way, T.J. Watt hasn't had a sack in six games either, so that pressure is mounting. Now, plenty of focus goes to T.J. Plenty of focus goes to T.J. from opposing offenses, so it's understandable to an extent. Opposing offenses run away from T.J. Watt, and maybe some people would use that as an argument for why Highsmith hasn't been effective in the first 2 weeks, but he is the perfect balance, I think, on the opposite side of the formation from T.J. Watt. Losing him would be big if they didn't have a level of confidence in the backups. And they do like Nick Herbig, who's in his third season now out of Wisconsin. He's a little undersized, though. So, again, if the Patriots decide to attack the Steelers in that right edge, right offensive edge in the run game, can Herbig stand up to that? I really suspect that there's an opportunity for Jack Sawyer, the rookie out of Ohio State, to make an impact on this game because he's bigger than Herbig. He's shown himself ready and capable, I think. If you just tell him to get in there and take a gap and get into the backfield and don't let them stretch sideline to sideline, he could make some plays. But, yeah, the loss of Highsmith is big. Joey Porter Jr. thins out the secondary. It makes them press Brandon Echols into service a little bit more than they might be comfortable. There's been communication issues in this secondary. Jalen Ramsey has been a revelation despite his advanced experience. Everybody's been, I think, very happy for the most part with the way he's played. It would look like he got victimized on a couple plays last week, but a lot of that had to do with coverage breakdowns. And they're also missing Deshaun Elliott in that secondary, one of their safeties. So they've had to play Chuck Clark. They've had to play Juan Thornhill maybe more than they want to, and they went out and got Jabril Peppers, obviously, who I think is probably ready to contribute a little bit more this week.
Chris Mack here, part of our Odyssey family in Pittsburgh, talking Steelers, Patriots tomorrow. So obviously a lot of defensive talk we've been here. Let's move to the offensive side of the ball for Pittsburgh, which, of course, you've got Aaron Rodgers, and clearly a much better quarterback situation than you've seen there over the last few years. My concern is the DK Metcalf factor, which we saw here last year in New England. John, remember this, right? I was like, gosh,
yeah.
DK Metcalf was just all over the field with Geno Smith last year. Do you believe that the Steelers feel that because giving up 30, what did they give up? They scored, what, 40, almost 40? Would they score 40 week one against the Jets or just under 40? And then what did they score last week?
Yeah, 34 against the Jets and then 17 against Seattle. So the offense, KJ, while it looked had a lot of really good moments in week one,
people took it with a grain of salt. Which offense do you believe that the Steelers will be able to unfurl? What you saw in week one or what happened in week two?
I still don't know if they know what their true identity is on offense, to be honest. You bring in, granted he's in his twilight, but you bring in a Hall of Fame quarterback who, as we saw against the Jets, can take over a game still at times and win it for you. But you've also got this Arthur Smith thing on offense where they've got a ton of tight ends. You know, they went out and got Jonnu Smith. They've got Pat Freiermuth. They've still got Darnell Washington, who's in his third year out of Georgia and is just a beast. Arthur Smith was talking about him again this week, like he's Shaquille O'Neal, like just get the ball to Shaq in the post, because he can do that. He did it on a two-point conversion last week. But they've only run 6 out of 118 offensive snaps with all three tight ends on the field at the same time. So I understand you want to get the ball to DK Metcalf. They've talked a lot this week about establishing the run, but then you've got this Arthur Smith personality that wants to use multiple tight end sets so that you can keep the defense on their heels and make it difficult to read keys, especially in middle yardage situations. You can go out in third and four, third and three, and with three tight ends and do basically anything from that formation. So I think they're having a hard time pinning down their personality. And I'm interested to see how they choose to attack New England's defense, because you're going to have to get the ball out quick. That's probably true just about every week with Rodgers. You don't want him holding on to the ball too long and taking too many hits. He's already taken 7 sacks, I think, in the first two games. So if they're looking to get the ball out early and quick to DK and the tight ends, maybe that loosens some things up for the run game. If they really do want to lean into the run game, they're averaging 3 yards a carry. That's another thing we haven't seen from this team yet, is if you want to establish the run, you better be better at it, you know? So that's a big question, is what do they look to establish early in this game? Do they look to take advantage of Christian Gonzalez still possibly being out and let DK feast? Do they try to run Robert Spillane and Christian Ellis all over the field with the tight ends and attack the safeties maybe, including I think Woodson's a rookie? And do they have the time to do that if they want to? Or do they decide to try and establish the run game early and say, all right, once we do that, we'll be able to open up some things in the secondary for Rodgers to pick them apart? It's just difficult to see them say, I get it, we're only 2 weeks into an 18-week season, but it's difficult to see them still kind of flailing about looking for their personality.
Chris, I want to ask you about Mike Tomlin, because over the last few years, those of us up here in New England, we look at the Steelers and we say, man, even if we could win 9 or 10 games a year, we'd be very happy with that. But it feels like, and this guy that's been there almost 2 decades now in Pittsburgh, he's won a Super Bowl, been to another, but it sometimes kind of feels like there's some frustration in Pittsburgh that they haven't been either, you know, deeper in the playoffs, haven't been a little bit better. I mean, is there frustration down there with Mike Tomlin, or do people look at this and say, hey, they haven't figured out quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired, and it's not a Mike Tomlin issue?
Yeah, I mean, there is a great amount of frustration. And look, there's an understanding that this team has not had a losing record since Mike Tomlin took over, right? We hear that thrown about all the time. But there's also an understanding that he hasn't won a playoff game in nearly a decade. So we're talking about a team that has, like you said, lots of places around the NFL. If this franchise, this organization were in Jacksonville or Arizona, they'd be like, hey, this guy wins 9 or 10 games every year. We're going to the playoffs or in the conversation every year. This is awesome. In Pittsburgh, the expectations are just higher. And look, after two and a half decades of what you guys had up there, the expectations are probably a good bit higher as well. The expectations are higher in places like Green Bay, in Dallas, whether rightfully or so or not. But, you know, you have organizations that show decades of not just relevance, but success, and people expect them to, you know, get to a certain point in January every year. And when you don't win a playoff game for nearly a decade, it becomes very difficult for people to accept, oh, that's great, we haven't had any losing seasons, but we also haven't won a playoff game. So there is frustration with Mike Tomlin. But I think the counterpoint to that is, hey, you know what? There hasn't been a 6-11 year. There hasn't been a 5-12 year.
You guys haven't bought it.
Again.
There's been no Mac
Jones. The counterpoint to that counterpoint, though, is, well, yeah, we're never in position to draft the truly impactful players that we need in the top half of the first round. And there are some fans that say,
you want Cole Strange?
I'd take a 5-12 year in order to find our franchise quarterback and stop this carousel of Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields that we've been on for the last 5 years. So there is a lot of push and pull. There is a lot of frustration, especially when you're a defense-first head coach and a defense-first organization and franchise who has a defense that got steamrolled down the stretch last year and has been buried on the ground the first two games this year as well. Despite the talent you brought in, a lot of people look at it and say, well, why isn't this talent performing? And they naturally turn to the coaching.
Yeah, great perspective from Chris Mack, Odyssey Pittsburgh, man. It's such a great time to have you here. John, do you know this? It is smallest of worlds. Do you know Chris Mack and Ken Laird used to work together?
We're boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Chris, then you call Ken later on and say, this was the best guest appearance you've ever had on a radio ever. Do that for us.
Oh, no, this is better. Can you get into HR files and give us some dirt on Ken? Because I'm ready to go diabolical pretty soon here, damn it.
Ask Kenny about the TV guide segment, and I'll just leave it at that.
The TV guide segment. Is that you think that's textable? Do I text him at home about that? What is this?
I'll let you handle it, KJ.
And let him know that I defiled the Boston airwaves for a good 15 minutes.
Hold on a second, Chris. Well, I got to get on John for a second. What a way to stand up for your partner there. I'm going to let you handle that, KJ.
You're the one that's gung-ho about it. You don't have to do it.
I'm just saying, look, I need to find out how we can get
Chris
some more money around here.
Did Laird become intimidating at some point in the last decade that I missed?
Decade? I thought Laird was just kind of like a 4 or 5 year thing. I didn't know there was a 10 year thing. I didn't know. So now we really, really need for you to come up with something really good. Decades. This is the stuff that you'd say, hey, we want to show you something from a decade ago, and we need to have a conversation.
No, just ask about the TV guide segment. I'll leave it at that.
That sounds like something that's 25 years ago.
Chris, true. Back.
Chris, thank you as always. It's great to talk to you, man, and I'll talk to you again soon. And England, it doesn't matter what you think if the Steelers win or not. That's not what this segment is for. Like that's why
it is interesting though to hear him say how many people down there are down on the Steelers, because it is a 1-1 team, and I know like that Seattle loss is a tough one to take because Seattle went across the country for a 1 p.m. game. Usually is so tough for those West Coast team, but like Seattle's a pretty good team. So like I don't know, to hear so many people like, and I believe him, for him to say so many people are down on them, that was interesting to me.
It feels like, did you think even going into the season, remember, I've always said like this Pittsburgh game was going to be kind of like this rotary in the story of the Patriots, right? Like I felt like, yeah, you'd be able to beat the Dolphins. You thought the Raiders would win that game. I thought they should have beat the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders were, because what you saw the next week, you're like, okay, why couldn't you beat that team? Then you beat the Dolphins. You're like, okay, this is why I believe you could beat that team. this is one of those situations where I literally feel like it's a push, right? Because here you have
it's funny you say that, because like if the Patriots won this game 28-17, like I wouldn't be shocked. But if Pittsburgh won this game as well, I wouldn't be shocked, because both of these teams.
I would be shocked to see Pittsburgh giving up 28 points to a team that's just figuring out how to play offense. Like, that would be shocking to me.
Yeah.
However, if Pittsburgh won the game 28-17, I wouldn't be shocked, because they have pieces in place where they can matriculate the ball down the field and score. And then you have a young quarterback who may make mistakes or has shown a history of it. So it's like, I could see the Steelers winning it 28-17. I couldn't see the Patriots winning 28-17. I could see the Patriots winning 21-14. So you see what I'm saying? Like, if the game score is lower, I think advantage Patriots. If the game score gets higher, I say advantage Pittsburgh. It does that.
And you look at the Patriots too, because over the last, I mean, what has it been, forever since they've scored 30 points in a game. So they finally score 30 last week. But remember, what, only 26 of them were on offense, because you had the kick return touchdown involved. So can their offense finally break 30 points? And you look at this Pittsburgh team that's given up 31 points a game so far this year. They're without Highsmith. They're without Joey Porter Jr. Like, you would think this would be an opportunity for them to build off what they did last week and actually score 30 offensive points. I think if they do that, I think they can win. But this should be an opportunity for not just May, but the offense as a whole to build off what they did last week.
I'm still dying to know what this Laird TV guide segment is. I'm like really fascinated. I'm not going to call Ken to find it out right now. But next, John, it's just the Jag.
Can't wait. Next, that's why I showed up today.
Right. Well, then I should have done it at the very first break, and then we could have left and still got paid for this time. Then we could be like, hey, Ken, we know about this TV guide situation. We're already home. You can run Infinity Sports Network until Bradfo gets here. But KJ and Lions continues next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, KJ and Lions back again here on WEEI. Hopefully your Saturday is as pleasant as it's been for us to be here with you. 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. We are 2 minutes away from the award-winning Just a Jag segment here, exclusively on KJ and Lions on WEEI. So John Chris Mack, who just joined us from Odyssey, Pittsburgh, just sent me a text, and we'll get to your text messages here shortly. 617-779-7937. How about, he said, also ask Ken about the Trib Live days and particular interviews that he had to do on the air. I'm going to share the text. I don't want to embarrass Ken with this, but Chris would go on to say he didn't want to throw that out there over the air, although he believes that Greg
but
Hill would have
did.
A field day. But he believes that Greg Hill would have a field day with it. So do I send this text message to Greg Hill, or do I blackmail Ken Laird and discuss what Trib Live was?
It's an interesting question.
Maybe the text line could help us. Do I just drop the information?
Or maybe you
before
send the TV guide thing to Greg and keep this for yourself. You know,
but there's sometimes just power in just kind of snatching stuff. Just, you know, just going rogue and taking things away.
It's true.
Of course, mine would probably be my job, right? You'd be like,
hey, you
know, KJ,
some,
there are
yeah.
consequences for talking about your boss and what they used to do at an old job. There's a consequence for that. There's no freedom involved with that. It's just entertainment, though. So, but it's good. I gotta show you. I'm going to show you the text once we go into break, just because it just came, and I don't want to be distracted when we do Jag here, just because there are people who are waiting for that segment besides you. So.
That's true. There are people besides me who are excited about it.
Thomas Crisafulli, what do you have on the text line, brother?
Drake May was QB3 last week overall. Pats dropped 30. I give them a good chance. I'm a 401 texter.
I give them a good chance, too. It's just I kind of got to see it. Because, again, they scored 33 last week, but 7 of that was due to the kick return touchdown. So they scored 26 on offense. Can they finally get over 30 just on offense?
It would have to be through just a super dominant run game that's just cutting through.
And they'd have to hit like, they'd have to be one like 40-yard touchdown pass or something. Like they'd have to hit one big play and then kind of dominate the rest of the game too.
Yeah, if the run game doesn't get going, like would you, I don't care if T.J. Watt has no sacks this year. He is not going up against this no-line defense, this no-line offense. So that's my concern. Is if you've got to worry about Highsmith and T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward being able to penetrate.
Well, Highsmith, you know, being out, like I think that helps.
Because, that helps.
Because he talked about, like Chris Mack was talking about, like Jack Sawyer and some of those guys. And sure, but like they're still not Highsmith, like being
right
in there. Yeah.
Being able to dominate the line of scrimmage. So that, again, I still would be concerned if the Patriots had to score a lot of points with the arm, just because that means it's dropping back, and you just one bad drop back can be a nightmare moving forward. All right, one or two more texts, and then we'll get to Jag.
If Rafael Devers was never traded, does Roman Anthony get the chance to be Roman Anthony?
Oh, I absolutely, yeah. So, I believe so, yeah.
I think it may have taken a little longer, but I do think he would have.
So?
Yeah, because what was Anthony was called up? Was it like June 9th or something? And Devers got traded the 16th. So whatever. It was like within a week, week and a half. So I think eventually Anthony would have got that chance and he would have been awesome just like he was, but maybe would have taken an extra, you know, few weeks for him to get fully in the lineup every single day. But he would have got it. It just might have taken a little bit longer.
I think he would have been ideal if Devers still stayed here, because I think Anthony would have blossomed, right? Anthony in the one hole. If you've got Devers in the two, really, Anthony succeeded because Duran wasn't meeting the expectations as the leadoff guy, right? So that's really how Roman Anthony really was able to become Roman Anthony. You put him at the top of the lineup, right? Because you're like, hey, Duran is clearly much faster than Roman Anthony, but Duran wasn't giving you the solid contact and being able to get you on base. I mean, if you put Anthony in front of Devers, bro, you're starting a lot of games off 2-0.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. So I think Roman Anthony probably might have even flourished even more if he had Devers behind him, because pitchers were going to say, well, look, we're obviously going to give Anthony the dosage of pitches we want to give him, because we don't want to give up a bunch of fastballs to Devers. So, you know, with somebody on base. All right, one more text and then we'll do Jack.
From a 413 text, if the Sox miss the postseason, it's because of the injuries.
That would be a big part of it, but I wouldn't put that as the number one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll get deeper into that here in about 7 minutes. But right now, you hear the lights, camera, in action, because it is time for...
Just a Guy.
Wait, where's the opening song? Kill it.
What happened? Where's the intro? What happened?
That's the only thing that's in the system.
Oh. What did someone
Tom, you've
do?
Done Just a Jag before too, right?
Yeah, this is the one that's in the system.
So, okay, I'll take care of things here. Ready?
I'm sorry that I said you were a jag. Just a guy.
Just a guy. Oh, he's just a jag.
Uh-huh.
Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field.
He sucks.
Oh, he's just a jag. Not great, not bad.
Modern day Brett Favre.
Just a guy out on the field.
All right, I got a list of names. We will determine, are they a jag or above a jag? Let's start with the former QB here. Mac Jones gets the win with San Francisco last week. Jag?
I had a feeling you were going to start off with him. I'm going to go Jag. Hey, don't forget, little sneaky storyline here. When the 49ers traded up and drafted Trey Lance, they were debating between Mac Jones and Trey Lance. Maybe Kyle Shanahan finally gets a chance to be with the guy he wanted all along.
Be with him all along? No.
Pause.
No, I'm kidding. Look, this would be one of the more diabolical things that we've probably seen in recent failed quarterback history is exactly what you mentioned. All that rumor that Mac Jones may actually be the number two pick and that they were trying to move up to get him and Shanahan being this quarterback whisperer. I would say if Shanahan could change Mac Jones, I will put my lips in the middle of Starro Drive in February, right after a cleaning crew comes through there. If Mac Jones suddenly becomes a star in this league, he's always going to be a Jag.
Mr. God.
Oh, gosh. You think I'm going to have to stick to that bet, putting my lips on Starro?
I really hope not.
What if I moved it to Soldier Field side?
You know, I'm not going, I'll tell you that.
Daniel Jones!
So I have to say, to his credit, he's been above a check. He's third in the NFL in passing yards. Through, and again, it's only 2 weeks, but he's been above a Jaggy, and he beat the Broncos, too, last week. So
it's not a defense that's easy to get
by. I got to put him above, to his credit.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
All right, yeah. Daniel Jones, because the quarterback behind him is such a super Jag, it almost makes me wonder if it's a situation where Daniel Jones is always going to look good. Probably even put Ursay's daughter in there as helping out as well. So he's not a Jag at this point. Next, Justin Fields, New York Jets.
Oh, he's below a Jet. I'm sorry. He's not that good.
The train!
32nd in the league in passing yards. Although,
yeah, you know, I'm going to go with you right there. Jag, always just been a Jag. God. I even go back to the high school years. I wasn't impressed with him at Ohio State. I just always felt like they've always moved the goalpost for Justin Fields. And what he does is he ends up not even getting the team to a goalpost. He's fried. J.J. McCartney, Minnesota Vikings.
So I was high on him coming into the year, J.J. McCarthy, and he has not been good so far. He had the really good fourth quarter against the Bears, credit to him. But on the whole right now, and look, it's only a couple starts for the young man, but he's below a Jag right now.
Yeah, get those stripes on.
Just thank God.
Yeah, that was my thing about J.J. McCartney was game manager in college, right? Which is actually a worse term to me. Like, if you apply to
in college, it might actually be derogatory.
That's derogatory, yeah. And I wasn't impressed with him as much as what Michigan had on defense and in their run game and so forth. I never thought of him to be more than it, so yes, I'm with you. J.J. McCartney is a Jag.
Just a guy.
Patrick Mahomes, now clearly Hall of Fame material. Is he Jag material right now?
It's interesting because this year, him and that offense has played like Jags. And I know they've played two good defense. Like, I think the Chargers have a good defense. I think the Eagles obviously have a great defense. But they've struggled to move the ball. And look, if Travis Kelce doesn't have that pass bounce off his hands for the end zone interception, maybe the Chiefs win that game or having a different conversation. But so far, that offense and him, through two games, they've been Jags.
Wow.
Again, Hall of Famer, but two games this year.
The first time we've ever said Patrick Mahomes and Jag material, yeah. But I totally agree with you, right? Because you're supposed to manage your expectations, and the expectations is they are below them, and it starts with the quarterback.
Just a guy.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're starting to see. The Chiefs are starting to look like just a guy to some of these other teams. I mean, think about it.
They're not the big, scary Chiefs of the last couple of years.
Right. The Chargers have already handled them. You feel like Denver can low-score them. The Raiders may be the one thing where they say, okay, we don't feel like they offer
Raiders
a real challenge.
Almost beat them on, what was it? Was that Black Friday last year? Remember they had that fumble with the ball like that?
Right, but they also had Antonio Pierce as their head coach, so different thing.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. All right. Tua Tagovailoa, is this a dumb question right here?
I'm going to tell you something, KJ. This man deserves an apology, but the man I'm talking about is Brian Flores. He was right about Tua all along. Okay? He got fired because he was right about Tua all along.
Just a guy.
Okay, I get the point, right? CJ Stroud, Houston Texans.
So I'm going to put Tampa Bay. He was better in that game. But Houston, man, a couple of years ago, they're in the divisional round. They take a step back last year. Now they're 0-2 this year. I don't know. Like, I don't think they suck, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? It's almost kind of like flatline, right? Like, where it's kind of like, okay, we know the story is still to come because of that division. I'm not totally a Colts believer just yet. But this is that season. It's just like, if we don't see a little bit more, then maybe you're just a guy. I'm just not ready to do that yet. However, Trevor Lawrence, what are we thinking?
Yeah, he's been a Jag. I mean, like some of his numbers are better than Stroud's. I'll give him that. But Stroud, I think, has been better over the balance of his career. So I give him a slight edge. But yeah, Lawrence, I don't know. I don't know. He has not lived up to what I think a lot of us thought he was going to be in that draft.
And going into tomorrow's game, the final, the Patriots defense.
Oh, they've been big time Jags. Because the thing is, like against the Raiders, I thought they mostly were bad. They gave up all those big plays, but they only gave up 20 points. And then against the Dolphins, second and third quarter, Dolphins made it look easy scoring left and right. The Patriots did step up in the fourth. So it hasn't been all bad. Definitely hasn't been good. So I give them just straight Jags.
And that is Just the Guy here on KJ and Lions WEEI. Next, the Red Sox. Are they that close to elimination here on WEEI? Thanks so much for hanging out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.